So we're on page 219, the basis for the prohibition of consuming blood. So this, of course, is a mitzvah in the Torah not to prohibit blood. The prohibition takes up a lot of areas of Shulchan Aruch. But we see here in the first number of sources, first six sources, is a number of places in the Torah, primarily in Vayikra and a couple in Sefer Dvarim, that tell us that A, we're not allowed to eat blood, and there's also a potential punishment of kares for consuming blood. So I don't want to read all the psukim right now, but there are, you know, here it says the Torah mentions the prohibition concerning blood in numerous instances. I counted 10. So at least 10 times we're told not to consume blood. Obviously, it underscores its significance. But if we turn to source 6, actually, on page 220. So a couple of places, specifically in chapter 17 of Vayikra, Parshat Achrayimot, where we're told not to consume blood. So I think this pasuk is worth reading out loud. Ish bebeit Yisrael, any person from the house of Israel, minagera gar betochav, or any stranger who resides among them, asher yochal kol dam, who eats any blood, natati panai benefesh ha'chalat et hadam, I will direct my attention to the person who eats the blood, yichrati otav mikerev aman, I will excise him from the midst of his people. In other words, eating blood, it comes with the punishment of kares, of what we call excision. And now this pasuk gives us a little bit of a window into why we're not supposed to consume blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it to you on the altar to atone for your souls. As it is the blood that shall atone for life. So there's kind of two things going on here, but we'll also see a little bit of elaboration, the Rambam and the Ramban and Or HaChaim. But that seems to be that blood is used for atonement on the Mizbeach, right? We sprinkle blood as part of the rites of the Korbanot. So if we're going to use blood as a means of atonement, then consuming it seems to be improper. Yeah, I think sort of related to that, the Ramban says that the whole idea behind Korbanos is that really, if part of the goal of Korbanos is to atone for sin, so really we should be the ones who are being offered on the Mizbeach. If we sin, we're the ones who should be sacrificing our lives. Except Hashem did not mandate that, but the animals take our place in doing so. So blood is the lifeline of a human being. So I think sort of all that connects to the idea that blood symbolizes life, but also the ability to have atonement itself gives us life, and likewise, removing blood removes life. So that said, they give us here two mefarshim who explain a little bit more about the idea of not consuming blood. So first of all, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim talks, and this is true of a lot of things. Rambam says that a lot of mitzvos respond to idolatry because the Torah was given in the context where there were idolaters, and blood was related to idolatry. So that's why we have the prohibition of blood. Ramban rejects that, and he goes through this sort of interesting history in which when human beings were created and Adam was put in Gan Eden. So Adam HaRishon did not eat meat, did not eat animals. He was only permitted to eat from vegetation, not animals. It's only when Noach was saved from the Teva and he offers a korban. So at that point, we were allowed to slaughter meat. But Ramban goes on to say on the top of page 221, so why don't we have blood then? So really, in theory, it's like inhumane. It's ironic that that humane societies are called humane societies when they are dealing with animals. But the truth is, what we're saying here is that it's not really in theory, it's not humane for us to eat meat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nonetheless allows us to do so, but to eat the blood specifically, which sort of contains the, again, the lifeline of the creature. So we're all creatures of God. So therefore, it's not appropriate that we should eat the blood of another creature.
And we can only eat the complicated thing.
Correct. But, okay.
We seem to also apply to mixing milk and meat. It's like, you know, it's kind of a double jeopardy.
Right. Yeah, there's, Joseph was mentioning that there seems to be something here also related in terms of milk and meat. And yeah, Mefarshim get it. Some of the Mefarshim get at similar points here. The Or HaChaim, again, I'll just say sort of very briefly, Or HaChaim suggests that by consuming blood, kona nefesh ha-behem mis mikoma benefesh adam, that when a person consumes blood, they're acquiring sort of an animalistic spirit. So that's why it is improper to consume blood. That's what we're what?
Vampire.
Oh, maybe. I don't know anything about vampires, but could be. Okay, so let's talk about we know for a fact that we are not supposed to consume the blood of an animal. That is very clear. What about birds and fish? So we look at the Mishnah in Chulin, page 222, this is source 9. So the Mishnah here outlines the differences between chaylev and dam. Chaylev is certain fats, and certain fats were not permitted to be consumed. And on the one hand, there's a chumrah with chaylev in the sense that it's susceptible to the prohibition of nosar, of leaving it overnight. And there was something else there that I'm not remembering right now. But at the same time, chaylev is not allowed to be consumed from domesticated animals, but you could have chaylev from a wild animal and from birds and the like. But the Mishnah here says, "V'chomer badam, shadam noheg b'vehema v'chaya v'of bein tmeim u'bein tahorim." We're not allowed to have blood from both domesticated and wild animals, and also fowl, and whether they are kosher animals or whether they are non-kosher animals. So, you know, there's a separate prohibition of blood there. So the Rambam and the Halachos of Machalos Asuros explains, "In chayav in karis ela adam hayotze b'shat shechita u'nechira." So there's a limitation of when you are specifically liable for karis, where you could be punished for karis, for consuming blood. And he says that prohibition applies at the time of slaughtering, or for the blood that is gathered in the heart, and for the blood of bloodletting, as long as it's spurting out. But regarding the blood that trickles out at the beginning of the bloodletting before it spurts out, and the blood that trickles out at the end of the bloodletting when the blood begins to stop, one is not liable for it. It is considered like the blood of the limbs, as the blood of the spurting out is the blood in which the soul departs. So think about it. If the idea of not consuming blood has to do with things related to the nefesh of an animal and killing it, so if you're doing bloodletting and it's only trickling out like right before the bloodletting starts or right as it's stopping, but it's not when the blood is literally spurting out, so maybe there's a distinction. There's a distinction there. Right? So if you look in the footnote, it says that it seems that the Rambam holds that one is liable for karet, for consuming any blood that emerges during the shechita or killing of an animal. And only concerning the case of bloodletting from the animal is a small trickle of blood at the beginning and the end included. Tosfos, however, disagrees and holds that even with regard to blood from shechita, only consuming the main flow of blood creates liability, not the trickle before and after. So there's a possibility that, in theory, again, you're not supposed to consume any blood from an animal, but it could be that there's a distinction if the blood came out through sort of the beginning or the end of the bloodletting process, or even the beginning or the end of the shechita process. Bloodletting is like when you like remove a little blood. It was something. It was a sort of a medical.
No, but in the case of the animal,
no, it's not part of shechita. I think that's just a separate thing. If there was like
medicinal purpose,
right? So I don't know if that was also a medicinal thing for animals as well. I'm not entirely sure, but that's my impression. So truth be told, as I note here, most of us would not dream of, you wouldn't buy a jar of blood and pour it as gravy, I'm sure that sounds revolting, right? So none of us would do that. But where the concern of blood comes up, obviously is more just in terms of, remaining blood in the process of kashering. Sefer Kashrus in source 11 says that, Hakonim Bazar Behema Chayva Of Shkutim, somebody who buys slaughtered meat, they have to investigate whether the meat was properly kashered. And then you have to figure out how much time has passed since it was slaughtered, because after a certain amount of time, even if you salt the meat, it's not going to be enough to kasher the animal. So then he goes on to say, the Mahadran institutions, So by the time the meat is put out in stores, so it's already gone through a proper kashering. But it has to be explained very well in the packaging. So in the footnote, this seems a little bit enigmatic. They explain that in Israel, the higher level kashering organizations require everything to be salted properly and then it's labeled as such. But there's a possibility that some more local forms of kashrus, the meat is not entirely salted properly. So that said, again, similar like with the glut issue in America, if you're buying meat, especially if it's OVU or fermenting the major, any of the notable hashkachas, the meat has generally gone through the salting process. We generally don't have to worry about that. In our milieu, but in theory, it is apparently something that in some locales you have to be concerned that the meat that you're buying has been properly salted. So Shulchan Aruch, as far as fish goes, says in source 12, Dam dagim afu pishu mutter, are allowed to have the blood of fish, and kvatsa bichli aser mishum aris ayin. But if it's all sort of gathered in one utensil, then you're not allowed to consume it because of maris ayin. It'll look like somebody walking by will see that it's blood. They won't realize that it's fish blood, and that could be problematic. So therefore, if it were im nikar shehu midagim, if it's very clear that the blood comes from fish, then, for example, if there were scales still present, then it would be permitted to have the blood. But so again, so according to Shulchan Aruch, the blood of fish is technically permitted, but you have to be careful about maris ayin. Sefer Kashrus explains, source 13, Dam dagim mutter bachila, the blood of fish is permitted to be consumed. Bav sheish b'kama shenagul l'mloch as a dagim lifnei bishulam, enzo alacha v'lo min ha-minhag. So some apparently did salt their fish to remove the blood, but that's not required by halacha or minhag. So that's with regard to fish. Okay, now a little bit of an interesting one. So two things left to discuss. Human blood and blood in eggs. So it sounds like we're talking about something barbaric, but there's a little bit of relevance here. So Gemara in Krisus says that damatchol, damalev, damaklayos, damevarim, ra'il b'lo taseh. So when it comes to the blood of the spleen, heart, kidneys, and limbs, you're not allowed to have them from animals, and if you were to consume it, again, it'd be kares. But dam halchei shtayim, the blood of bipeds, people who, individuals that walk on two legs, meaning human beings. And likewise, dam shratzim v'masim, from creepy crawlers, asur, not allowed to have it, v'ein chayav in alav. You're not liable for consumption, which seems to suggest that the blood of a human being is prohibited to consume on a rabbinic level, but not on a Torah level. Otherwise, it should also be included in Karis. So Gemara asks, "My in chayav in alav, what does it mean that you're not liable for it?" So it's talking about Karis. So on the one hand, if there was human blood that that ends up on, you know, a piece of bread, say someone bites their lip and some of the blood drips onto the bread, so you have to remove the blood and then you can eat it. But if you have blood in, you know, in your teeth, you know, just flossed or something like that, and there's a little bit of blood, so you can suck it and swallow it, there's no concern. In other words, if somebody swallows their own blood for whatever reason, so that's not considered a prohibition.
That comes up when you go to the dentist and they work on your mouth, and you wind up usually swallowing some of your blood.
Right, exactly. So so Rashi suggests, I'm a tzitzit of a usher because it's because of you know, for medical reasons. At least that's what I would hope. Okay, so Rashi explains that he says, even a word in English, even though it is not like where he collected an utensil, there's no prohibition. However, there's a mitzvah of separating from it and not eating it, meaning that's the blood that ends up on the lip. But blood in between one's teeth, which is still considered attached, is not even subject to the mitzvah of separation. And if he swallows it, it's no concern. So we seem to be making a distinction between, let's say, blood that's sort of removed from your body, it's on something. So maybe we have a concern there, but even then, it's enough just to wipe it off. Versus when you swallow it, so it's still part of your body, so there's no concern there. So Shulchan Aruch says in source 16, Dam Adam, the blood of a human being, im pirish mimenu, if somebody, if it was separated from him, aser mishumaris ayin. So just like the fish, we have a concern that, let's say, there's a little bit of blood on the food that dripped from somebody's body, God forbid. So there's a concern that, that it looks like it's blood from an animal, so it should not be consumed. If one bit into a loaf with their teeth, so if somebody, you know, is eating bread and the blood comes from the teeth onto the loaf, so it has to be scraped off. This is, of course, assuming that noticeable, but if, again, if it's just in between the teeth, it's not a problem. So the Kovet Shiuri and Rav Elchanan Wasserman asks a very fascinating question. It seems like we're saying that the blood that's, let's say, in my mouth, I'm allowed to swallow it because there's no maris ayin there, because nobody's going to see it. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, things I'm not allowed to do because of maris ayin, I'm still not allowed to do it even if it's in private. Meaning once I'm not allowed to do something because of maris ayin, it becomes prohibited whether you're in public or in private. So here he explains that when you're in private, so there's a possibility that somebody could walk in and see what you're doing. Whereas the blood that's in between your teeth that you swallow, nobody's going to ever really see that or make that kind of mistake.
Well, Yochanan ben Zakkai said on his deathbed, "Fear God as much as you fear man." Because when somebody wants to do a thing, he says, "I hope no man sees me."
Right. So that's the idea of Maris Ayin, is that Maris Ayin, the concern is that somebody might get the wrong idea. Meaning that what you're doing is permitted, but somebody might get the wrong idea, and nonetheless, you're still not allowed to do it in private. But right, there's still the private and public thing still.
That's why you shouldn't go. Preferably, you would not go into McDonald's.
Right, it's a possibility. Fine. So Shulchan Aruch says that an implication of this, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have blood from fish or from human being, so since it's technically permissible, if it gets mixed into something, let's say it's batzel b'shishim, really don't have a problem. Tosfos brings up the issue in source 19 that let's say somebody has blood dripping from their finger, and let's say they lick their finger just like instinctively. So is that considered to be a problem? And the answer there is that it's permitted since it comes from the finger, and it's clear that it's very clear that's coming from the finger and not from an animal. That's not a problem. But the Ben Ish Chai says that that's only if the blood is still like sort of like dripping and it's like on the finger. But like once the dripping has stopped and the finger was merely dirty with the blood, so maybe there's a concern of Marius Ayin in that situation. Okay. So again, blood that's still like attached to the body, so to speak. Me'ikar din, there's no prohibition of swallowing it. This all reminds me on some level, right? We're saying that blood is, human blood is prohibited on a rabbinic level. So there's a famous machlokas, a famous dispute between Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and Rav Yehuda Amital, the two Rishi Yeshiva of Yeshiva Har Etzion, of a hypothetical situation that if somebody were in the situation that they were stuck on a desert island and they could either eat chazer or a human being, so which one should they do? Chazer is asur midoraisa. Human being is prohibited midorabanan. Aaron says that midorabanan, better to do the derabanan than the deraisa. Hey, obviously here you're in a non-ideal situation, but still better to do the derabanan than the deraisa. Rav Mital says that the reason why the Torah told us didn't mention anything about not eating a human being because the Torah can't imagine that that somebody would do something like that. So
the last thing for us to discuss is the issue of blood spots in eggs. The Gemara in Chulin, this is not an easy Gemara. The Gemara in Chulin says Tan Rabbanan, Rabbis Tan and Baraita, Giule Beitzim, meaning kosher eggs that are boiled with non-kosher eggs, mutaros, they are permitted to be consumed. Beitzim muzaros, Rashi explains that these are unfertilized eggs. There's not going to be chicks in them. So nefesh yafa tochlem, somebody who has the ability to eat them may do so. However, nimtza aleha kortz dam, there's a drop of blood on it, and here we're talking about a fertilized egg. Zorek es adam, you have to discard the blood. V'ochal sha'ar, then you can eat the rest of the egg. So far it seems like with a fertilized egg that has a little bit of blood, so you remove the blood and you can eat the rest. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya says, V'hush nimtza al kesher shalah. That halacha applies that you can discard the blood and eat the rest. That applies when the blood is found on the kesher, when it's found on the knot. And specifically the knot in the albumen, right, outside the yolk. Because this demonstrates that the blood has not spread elsewhere to the egg. We'll pack this more in a second. Tani dostai avua de rabbi aptariki. So he says that this is only when the blood is found in the albumen, but if it's found in the yolk, afilu beitza asura. So the whole egg would be prohibited. Because the decay or the blood has spread through the rest of it. So those who are on Zoom, if you look at this image here, so we have something called the kesher, which is like this this white area, and there's the kesher that's outside the oak, and there's the kesher that is sort of in the yolk. The kesher is the place where the embryo begins to develop. So if the blood spot is merely in the kesher, so that means that it's just beginning to develop and it hasn't spread anywhere else through the egg. Whereas if the blood spot is found in the chalmon, if it's found in the yolk, so then we assume that the blood the embryo is spreading through the rest of the egg, and it's a more developed embryo, so therefore the entire egg would be forbidden. So that's how Rashi understands it. There's a little bit of machlokas among the Rishonim about whether Rabbi Yirmiya and Dostai disagree or if they're complementing each other. Meaning, is it that Dostai is saying that it's only the blood in the kesher that's permitted, or is Dostai saying that no, blood anywhere in the albumen is fine, even not in the kesher, but all would agree that inside the yolk there's an issue. But the way we explained it, that the blood is in the blood in the kesher is an indication of the development of the chick, and if it's only in the kesher, it means the development hasn't proceeded, hasn't been dispersed to the rest of the egg. So that's Rashi's approach. But Tosfos raises an issue that in a Gemara in Krisus, it says that when it comes to issues with blood, it says Yatzah Dam Beitim She'ena Min Basar, blood of eggs is not considered to be flesh. It's not considered to be blood. Same thing with the blood of grasshoppers. Umashma dechihechi deshari dam chagavim v'dagim kolzman sheyishno lehem v'nikar shehu mehen. So it seems that just as the blood of grasshoppers or fish is permitted when it's clear that it's from the grasshopper and the fish, meaning if it's still inside it, so with eggs it should be the same thing. There shouldn't be a problem with the blood of eggs if it's clear it's from the eggs. So, v'yesh lomar, Tosfos say, so the answer is, d'midrabanan hichmir b'dam beitzim. The institution of not eating the blood of eggs is a rabbinic institution. It's not eating the blood, consuming a blood spot found in an egg is not a Torah violation. It's not asr midaraisa. It's a chumra midrabanan. Zera atudam ofsha beitza bamimenu. We have a concern that that if we're permitted to eat the blood of eggs, so maybe somebody would be confused with the possibility of eating the blood of the chicken where it comes from, and that's obviously not allowed. So midiraisa shari. So from the Torah, it's permitted to technically eat the blood that's found in an egg. Even though the chick is developed there, because it's not considered flesh at this point. So according to Rashi and Tosfos, the prohibition of eating the blood spot found in an egg is a rabbinic stringency, a rabbinic decree to prevent other mistakes. But the implication of that being that if the blood spot is removed, so then the rest of the egg can be consumed. The Torah, however, says, "V'dam beitim yadua she'inam mirkam afrach in chayavan alav." So when it comes to the blood of eggs, if it's known that it does not come from the development of a chick, so you don't have a problem there. You're not liable. It wouldn't be a chiv kares. El shachachamim masruhu. The sages prohibited it. Well, im yadua shehu mirkam afrach chayavin alav. But if you know that's from the development of a chick, so then one is Chayav Kares, which makes it seem like if you're Chayav Kares, that means that the blood spot in an egg, if it can be traced to the development of an egg, would be an Isser D'Oraisa, would be a Torah prohibition. So in source 25, the Shulchan Aruch says, Dam Beitzim, Im Yadushu Meirakim Afroa Chayavim Alav. If you know that the blood comes from the development of a chick, so that is an Isser D'Oraisa, you would be liable for Kares. So, but if you don't know, it's not just that you have to know that it's not from the development of a chick, but if you're not sure one way or another, you're not liable for it, it's not a chiv kares, the sages prohibited it. So it seems like right now what we're talking about is fertilized eggs. We're talking about fertilized eggs, the concern that the blood spot represents or is an indication of the development of a chick. So what are the implications of this halachically? How do we paskin in terms of, you know, if the blood spot is removed, can you eat the rest of the egg? So the Shulchan Aruch says in source 26 on page 229, Nimtza lea kortz dam. So if you find a blood spot, Zorek es adam ve'ochal sashar, you can remove the blood and eat the rest of it. That's only when it's in the albumen. It doesn't say anything about the kesher. It's just if the blood is found in the albumen, if fine. But if it's found in the yolk, then the rest of the egg is forbidden. So Mechaber of Yosef Cairo is taking the stance that if you find a blood spot and it's in the albumin, just remove the blood spot, eat the rest of the egg, and it's fine. The Ramah, however, says, V'ish omrim, di'im nimza akesher chalbon v'gamim bibachutz. It's found on the knot of the albumin and outside of the kasher. Dahanu shenis pasha mina kasher. It's already begun to disperse. D'chol abeitz asura. You can't eat the egg at all. V'ish machmirin o d'chol shenimza ala kasher shel chalbon. Afil donis pasha kal asur. Some are even more stringent that even if it has not spread. So the first case was that it's found on the kasher and outside the kasher. Here, even if it's only found in the kasher, some are machmir that you shouldn't eat the egg at all. Mizenis pashet haminhag b'medinos elub. It's a custom of Ashkenazim. Lesser called beitza sheish ba'adam. Any egg that has any trace of blood can't have it at all. V'im lechalkin ben chalbon lechalbon. We don't care if it's in the yolk or the albumin. Don't care if you throw away if you remove the blood spot, the whole egg is forbidden, according to the Ramah. Fine. So that's what the fertilized egg. The Shulchan Aruch also deals with the question, can I boil an egg? I'm not going to be able to check it. So is it permitted to do so? So the Shulchan Aruch says, this is source 27, Mutar lechol beitim sluyos, you can have hard-boiled eggs, afal pishe einam yecholos libadik, even though you can't check it. And the Ramah says, v'chein ein zarich livdok ha-beitim yish bahem dam, technically you don't need to check the eggs to see if there's blood, to somchin al rov beitim she'ein bahem dam, because we assume that most eggs do not have blood on them. If you're making a dish with eggs during the day, you should still check it. Check if there's still blood. So given the fact that blood spots are very uncommon, so checking is appropriate and it's encouraged, but it doesn't prevent one from making a hard-boiled egg. And it also seems the Ramah saying that lechachil, it's really not, lechachil should check the egg, but b'dieved, it's not an issue. So now let's talk about unfertilized eggs. So if the eggs are unfertilized, so there's no concern that the blood is coming from a developing chick. So even if there was a blood spot, it's not the kind of blood that Chazal were concerned of. So the question is then, do I still have to check the eggs? What assumptions can I make? And if there is blood, then what's the halacha? So the Ikros Moshe Feinstein, first of all, notes that most eggs nowadays are not fertilized. There are not even roosters anywhere near the hens. So we can assume that the vast, vast majority of eggs are not fertilized. And therefore, even if there was blood, it would not prohibit the egg. Ramosha says in the second paragraph, again on source 29, page 231, Valamaisa kevan de vebeta lo nechshav l'ruba d'ruba ha'anashim hefset klal. Since, notwithstanding inflation and the increased price of eggs nowadays, given that it's not so such a huge cost to discard an egg, so everybody is stringent when it comes to eggs that if there's blood, it really should be removed. Even if it's only rabbinic prohibition, so in theory we should follow the lenient opinion when it comes to a rabbinic matter. So since there is nevertheless a minority of eggs that are fertilized, where the blood would prohibit the entire egg, so it's better to be stringent and discard the entire egg. So Moshe is saying that, yes, for the most part, eggs are unfertilized nowadays, but there could be some fertilized eggs. And therefore, even though Me'ikar Din, you really should not have to discard the entire egg, it's still worthwhile doing so. Rav Avadya Yosef, however, in Rabbi Omer, source 30, page 232, says that he checked things out at the Tnuva company and again saw something similar to Ramosha. Most eggs are not fertilized. The roosters are nowhere near the hens, so they're most likely not fertilized. So he says, find eggs sold in stores. Zorekas Adam, if you find blood, you can just discard it. Va'ochal es hashar, and you can eat the remainder of the eggs. He says, even if there's a minor possibility that it could have been fertilized, the vast majority are unfertilized. So therefore, you can remove the blood and discard the entire egg. So just to summarize, right, so blood spots found in eggs we should not consume, only because of Maris Ayin, then Isir Dirabana, and the Chachamim were stringent on it. So when it comes to fertilized eggs, ideally we should check the eggs, but B'dievid, it's not a problem. And if the blood is found in the yolk of a fertilized egg, so the entire egg is forbidden. If it's in the albumin, so according to the Ramah, we still don't eat the egg. But when it comes to unfertilized eggs, so really it should not be a problem whatsoever because there's no concern that a chick was developing there. But the Igros Moshe says that we should be stringent and discard the entire egg.